This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good. This is time for my observation of the game week, Josh.
Okay.
It was exciting to see Mesut Ozil back in the lineup for Arsenal. That guy's face gets so red during the games. Is he really out of shape? He clearly hates running.
He hasn't played in like 6 weeks, right? So, I mean, he probably was a lot. He did not play well.
I know he
got an assist on the corner, but he did not. That was a very bad match. I was thinking to myself that this is kind of a marquee game for the Premier League, and it had goals. I mean, it had some like excitement, I guess. Even the goals weren't very good. I mean, I sort of joked on Twitter about Aguero's goal. I heard people on Twitter saying it was a good goal, and I suppose he was in a great position, but that ball rolled about 5 miles an hour, and Mustafi looked at it. He like literally like turned and watched it roll into the goal. I mean, a foot out, and he could have stopped it. Ashley Williams would have like kicked that downfield for an assist or something.
I do wonder if – I feel like Mustafi was sizing it up, like if I go in for this ball, like 95% – the odds are 95% that I score an own goal here.
Right. So that's like, I mean, I feel like an old school, like, you know, Tony Adams would have gone for it there or whatever, you know, it's sort of, it was, I don't know. I mean, maybe you feel differently about that game. I thought it was a really poor match.
I agree that it was it was fun to watch. It was reminiscent of the City Liverpool game.
Last week. The KDB to Sané goal was great. I should add that.
Yeah. But I think it was punctuated by the Theo Walcott goal. Also a classic goal for City to give up their really garbage defense.
Right.
It was really a game week of terrible defense and goaltending. I mean, Joel Robles put on a master clinic of how to be completely out to lunch during a game. on that third goal that Origi scores, Robles just rushes up into no man's land for no apparent reason.
It was weird because there were also a bunch of clean sheets this week in like weird nil-nil games that were like totally unwatchable. Like I did watch them, but so I don't even know what I mean by unwatchable. I guess I just mean that I didn't enjoy myself. Right?
There were two things that could have been predicted this weekend, and they were both two things that I predicted in last week's episode of the podcast. One, that Sergio Aguero would score more points than Alexis Sanchez. Josh, you owe me 50 cents.
That's true. I do. It's the $50 50 cent cup now.
And B, Eden Hazard was a better captain option than Diego Costa. Now, that is with the caveat that neither of them were really good captain options at the end of the day.
Right. But you would have had four more points. It was not a great week for captains in general. I mean, Lukaku, I don't know if Lukaku was a Lukaku was, I think, the second most captain player overall.
Yeah, next to Costa, who was number one, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, of course, at the same time, I think the third most catched player overall was Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who was still on suspension. So tells you a little something about these overall, you know, numbers. But nevertheless, I think it was Costa, Lukaku, and Ibra were the top three.
Josh, how many ghost managers out there do you think still listen to our podcast? Do you think they tune in to the podcast every week, even though they're not setting their team? I'd like to think so.
I don't know. I'm slowly recovering. You know, I've had this really terrible, I've not had a great start to the season. You know, I've had my distractions, and you may even hear a baby in the background of this week's episode. Not a new baby. It's the same baby we've talked about before. I don't have two. I'm still at one. but I have been I've actually picked up 100,000 or I picked up about 100,000 slots this week. I had 54 points total, and I picked up like 150 the week before. So I'm just like slowly getting back to respectability. But still, you know, I'm like out of the millions, thank God, but I'm still like around 700,000, you know, like really, not anywhere close to where I want to be. But, I suspect I'll end up in the top 100K again. Just because, I mean, partially because, you know, I still have chips. I've got, you know, a wild carded team. I'm just paying more attention than a lot of other managers. so I think that, I mean, you know, if I can keep this up, there's no reason. I mean, I haven't played a triple captain yet. I haven't played a bench boost. I've got like a million double game week players. So it's fine. But the whole point of me bringing this up is I saw where I was, you know, in the United States. And there's actually a fair number of people who list themselves as being United States players. Well, you know, it's hundreds of thousands. But I saw that I was ranked like, you know, 22,000 or something like that in the US. And I was thinking, we do not even have 22,000 listeners per episode. Shouldn't every, like, our US-based listenership should be a lot higher than it is, right?
Every American should be listening to Always Cheating. And are we ready to challenge our U.S. listeners? Turn and tell a friend about Always Cheating?
Yeah, I don't know if it's too late this season. It might be like too in the weeds at this point. I mean, they might wonder why we call, you know, Burrow Middlesberger and who Brock Kattun is. You know, we might have gotten like a little too far up our own ass at this point, 31 weeks into the season.
Men in Blazers style.
But yeah, I think definitely at the start of next season we should. I mean, I love that, you know, I mean, it's great. You know, we've actually met a bunch of people from the UK who've come to the US. And
we have more fans from overseas come visit us in New York than American fans.
I know, exactly. I remember talking to, yeah, we have like fans in Philadelphia, and we never like organized like an Always Cheating meetup in New York, and maybe
that's
we
true.
Should
that's on us.
Actually do that one of these days. So anyway, what was my point? Oh, my point was we need more American listeners, and it's a damn shame that we don't. And we have plenty, but it should be higher, right?
It's got to be higher.
If you're an American that's playing in the fantasy league, and I mean, I assume you're like a person who's also a little podcast savvy, right? This is like a total, this is even part of the running order. This is just a rant that I'm deciding to. All right, so let's move on. Anyway.
All right, I want to talk about your wild card, Josh. You played a wild card for game week 30.
I did. And so, you know, 54 points. I'm happy with the wild card.
Typically, my experience, I think everyone shares this, is your score always feels a little soft coming right out of a wild card. Like, you're basically building the perfect team going into the next game week. I mean, there is some long-term planning, but no matter what you do, the score is always going to feel a little soft.
It's true. And I had a fourth midfielder problem that I really couldn't resolve. I was talking to you about this a little bit before the start of the podcast. You know, I mean, had I known that Wilfred Zaha was going to explode away to Chelsea, I certainly would have looked at him. But as it was, that like kind of 5.5 to 6.5 million bracket is a little, it's not that strong, I don't think. And I looked at Lanzini, who I thought about, but I already have Carroll, and I just doubling up on a bad West Ham team didn't appeal.
Yeah.
And so I thought about going up to the 7.2 million range and picking up Pedro, which was actually what my team looked like until kind of at the last minute I moved Victor Valdez to David De Gea, which cost me this week, but hopefully will not cost me long term. And I ended up with De Gea, and I brought in James Milner, which is, you know, the way I justified it was he's probably not going to be in that team for very long. And Liverpool have, you know,
Liverpool's team.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Yeah, exactly. He should be with Liverpool for a good long while, I think. But I think that I just thought that, you know, there's a decent chance they could pick up a penalty in, you know, one of the next two or three game weeks. And then, you know, I'm probably almost surely going to be dropping him for a double game week player, game week 34. So, you know, but other than that,
I'm looking at the players that are anywhere between like high 5 million to below 7 million. And it's just a murderer's row of has-beens, like Snodgrass, like Nathan, Chadley, Matt Phillips.
I didn't want Nathan Redmond. I didn't want Dusan Tadic, you know.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I guess there's Josh King. But you were saying, considering Bournemouth and Josh King, even though he's in great form, they have a terrible run of fixtures coming up.
Exactly. So I just didn't want to, like, I don't know. Josh King might have been a better pick. I mean, I know it was a wash for this game week, but I don't know. I didn't feel like Brandon King for whatever reason, you know. I mean, maybe it wasn't very logical, but so I brought in Milliner. But other than that, I don't want to focus on my worst move. I brought in, it's a good time to play a wild card in some ways, because there are 2 4 million defenders who are playing every game right now, or who I expect to play every game. One is Holgate, Mason Holgate on Everton, who should. I mean, I know he didn't look very good.
You know, I feel like
no one to play in that role.
I don't know that he didn't look bad. He looked professional out there. Wasn't putting in the best service, but the guy's not played a full 90 in quite some time, but he looked confident on the ball. He was able to hold possession down the
floor. He got better. Yeah, as the match went on, I thought he played a little better.
I think he'll be worth playing in a few game weeks coming up.
Then I brought in Jack Stevens, who's a 4 million midfielder in Southampton, and he actually picked up 2 bonus points in their match.
We're going to have to memorize Jack Stevens' name now. I vowed to never memorize his name, but here you're forcing my hand.
Yeah. And I clearly should have brought him in I should have played him instead of Marcus Alonso. I mean, we all knew that Alonso was going to get 1 point at home to Crystal Palace, right?
We all knew that Benteke was going to take the most nonchalant goal of all time in Stamford Bridge to win the game for Crystal Palace.
I was excited to have 2 Leicester players for the first time all year. I brought in Huth and Vardy, and I did captain Vardy this game week. I held on to Lukaku, who I think is probably going to be on the way out in the near future. I'm going to give him one more match, but I really think that the lack of, you know, like just all the injuries in defensive midfield for Everton and the lack of Seamus Coleman on the wing providing crosses is, given, you know, it was only one match, but given what I saw, I do not feel as confident in Lukaku as I did even at the start of last week's podcast.
There are so many guys that were providing service to Lukaku throughout the season from, you know, we all know what happened to Bolasie, and then they got rid of De La Feu for some reason. And now it's largely dependent on Ross Barkley having a decent game, which we know happens, you know, once every other month this rate. And
exactly.
Barkley was so bad over the weekend, and Lukaku is just starved for getting the ball.
I mean, I saw people giving Lukaku, you know, flack on social media, and I don't really know what he was supposed to do. Like, what do you do when no one can get you the ball? Like, he can't just run back, and like, he's got to be up there. You know, he's got to be the target man.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's not doing it, then too. I mean, I would not be surprised to see Inter Valencia play a little more.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like those guys are playing well together, and they might need that to generate more offense. Especially if they're going to be conceding, you know, a couple goals in every game.
Speaking of our U.S. listeners, Josh, watching Romelu Lukaku against Liverpool, it reminded me of Jozy Altidore on the U.S. national team. Everyone mm-hmm. might remember him from his brief unheralded stint.
Still faded. Yep.
But anytime he got the ball, all he could do was hold it up, and he couldn't really even do that against Liverpool. He didn't have the best game when he did receive the ball, and I was just thinking, like, Jozy Altidore could fit seamlessly into this Everton squad right now.
Yeah, you don't notice Lukaku, you wouldn't notice him either. So I brought in my front line right now is Carroll, Lukaku, Vardy. It's very tempting to do the Carroll to what's his name, the Liverpool Origi, but okay. I'm still want to see, you know, I still want to see what happens with Mane. Apparently he walked off at the end of the game on his own volition, like with a suitcase, so apparently he's fine.
With a suitcase?
He had a suitcase. He was trailing a suitcase. I guess I should bring this up because people are curious. As of this recording on Sunday night, it looks like Sadio Mane is probably fine. He might not recover in time for the midweek fixture, but if there wasn't a midweek fixture, he would probably be okay to start, you know, like he'll probably be okay for Saturday's game, for example.
Right.
So I wouldn't be too quick to jump the gun, assuming you have like a bench option, but
also makes Liverpool's run-in through game week 38 is, I know they don't have any doubles, which is a downside, but beyond that, all these matchups are fantastic for Liverpool.
Yeah, they really are. Which is part of the reason why I wanted Milner. I wanted some kind of Liverpool coverage. Now, granted, picking up a midfielder who's playing out of position as defender is not necessarily the smartest move, but I thought he was getting forward a lot, and he's obviously in pen, so you know, we'll see if it pans out.
He takes the odd corner kick as well.
Yeah, exactly. He took several in this game, so you know, you got to give every chance from you know, at least 2 weeks to really pan out. And then I brought in both of the Spurs midfielders. I brought in Eriksen and Alli, and I brought in Ben Davies because the Danny Rose thing looks like it's not going to resolve itself anytime soon.
No. So do you have are you thinking about Zlatan in the coming weeks?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Zlatan. I think Lukaku to Zlatan, and then, you know, I might, to make that happen, I might have to drop either Alonso or maybe Eriksen or Alli, like whichever one seems to be performing worse. You know, it's a little burn to lose the Eriksen assist. I mean, I know it was like a bit of a lucky assist, but
it was such a tease. I mean, it's funny to me how they, in most cases like that, the FPL is very hesitant to post the assist.
Right.
It's typical that they don't post it, and maybe if you're lucky, you get it later. But then they posted it immediately. And
I saw someone on Twitter who it must be someone who we follow, because they added the official FPL account. They were like, "Do the right thing, take away the assist." And I was like, "Give me a break." I feel like it's one thing to get mad about not getting points, but to get mad about someone else getting points, that just seems like poor sportsmanship to me. Just like let it go. Like someone got 3 points. Like, you know, do the right thing. Like, it was so dumb. All right,
come on. Listen, if your head to head was on the line at the end of the season.
Yeah,
you might be thinking about what the right.
Whoever wrote that, I don't mean to offend you.
He was just asking the person who runs the FPL social media to watch the great Spike Lee film, Do the Right Thing.
Oh, that's true. Maybe they asked. Maybe the question was, "What's your favorite, you know, early '90s film or something like that?" And that was the answer. Okay. Anyway, so Brandon, this is an interesting podcast. We're going to do.
Do you want to hear about my game week?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. You were so interested. I thought I was like, I'm good. You know, I'm done. We're all done. Everyone's ready to move on. But let's hear it out.
Okay, fine. So 59.
Very, very lucky game week for you.
How was it lucky?
Well, I mean, you lucked into 8 points from Gareth. I mean, so West Brom keep their first clean sheet all season. I think it might be the first one they've kept in 30 weeks, and you pick up 8 points on the road at Old Trafford. I think that's a bit lucky, don't you think, off the bench?
Well, I think it was lucky for me that Kyle Walker didn't start. That was my transfer going into the game. It was lucky for me that Kyle Walker didn't start, whereas maybe he would have gotten 6 points.
True. That's true. That's true. And that's a fair point. And keeping the keeping the clean sheet in the Southampton match was a bit lucky too. On that,
well, that was quite fortunate. If I had any bad luck, it was having Andrew Robertson all the way down my bench for 10 points. But
you had an explosive bench this week.
I did have an explosive bench. Let's see, I think all told 22 points on my bench, and I got Macaulay to come in for Kyle Walker. But yeah, Cedric had no right to keep that clean sheet against Bournemouth. the fact that Harry Arter, like, note for note, step for step, recreates the Harry Kane missed penalty. It was truly incredible. And Forster was even going the wrong way. I went ahead.
59 points, though, right?
Yeah, 59 points. I captained Sergio Aguero, and I was really excited to see him score that goal that dribbled by Ospina, and And Mustafi.
I think I said on Twitter that aging turtles move faster than that ball rolled into the net. I was very
happy to see that goal go in. I thought it was really well taken, and Aguero did nicely to get into that space. And
Mustafi actually had to get on his knees and blow that ball into the net. That was how slow it was going. He had to get on. He was literally blowing as hard as he could to get that into the net.
I would love to play air hockey with Mustafi.
So you had a strong game week, though. I mean, I was impressed. It was a little, with our $50 cup, it was already kind of lost anyway. But then losing the Eriksen assist, I also lost 2 bonus points from Vardy, which was kind of annoying. He was on,
Happened with Aguero.
Oh, is that right? Was he on for 9?
He was on for 3 bonus at the end of the game, and when it all triggered, he dropped down to 1.
Oh, is that right? Okay, yeah. All right, fair enough. So I'm kind of teasing you a little bit. I mean, you had a good kick. I think both of us feel pretty good about, right? Green arrows for both of us, for sure.
Absolutely. I'm creeping up on the top 100K, moved up to 132,000. So ever closer to my very modest goal.
Excellent. Excellent. And I see the third place trophy is looking pretty good for you, too.
Well, yeah, if Aguero's 3 bonus points came in, I would have moved into third place in our private league, and I would have got my hands on that sweet money, but I'll have to wait until next week.
All right. Well, I don't mean to glide over the rest of your game week, Brian. I think we had a lot of similar players, and I think that's why we both had pretty good game weeks. And then I guess it really was the Macaulay clean sheet that.
Yeah, Firmino has been a quiet, unsung hero for me, just coming in with just
5
quiet assists, and that helps get me over the line week to week. And Firmino is a guy where I'm pretty happy to have him for the unforeseeable future. He hasn't put in any goals.
The unforeseeable future. I guess we never know what the future holds.
So. We don't, yeah, and we'll get to that later in the episode when we do a future podcast for game week 32.
As I mentioned a moment ago, so this is gonna be, I think these are both gonna be pretty short episodes. We're gonna do I want to look at the Hail Cheaters Super League quickly, or maybe not quickly, we'll see how it goes. And then we're gonna jump right into a game week 31 preview because the game week starts on Tuesday afternoon, and we want to make sure everybody is ready, including us. And we're actually going to record we're going to record a Game Week 32 preview as well, which we'll release later this week after Game Week 31 is over. So we're going to break up the two podcasts. And without further ado, Brandon. A quick side note. Peter Blake had inspired us to post earlier today about the biggest fantasy mistake you've made this year. And Peter Blake, by the way, is a great follow on Twitter. If you're into fantasy soccer at all, he's really a must follow, I'd say. But inspired a lot of great responses, so I highly encourage people to jump onto Twitter and take a look at those because I was really very entertained by them. A lot of Harry Kane related responses.
Yeah, that was interesting.
What
about you? Your biggest mistake?
Yeah, the one that sticks out is it would have been around game week 7 or 8. It was when I played my wild card, and I played it a little later this year. And I was debating between, I played my first wild card, that is, I was debating between Hazard and Sanchez. And I ended up going for Hazard. And it was right when Hazard went into this run of, it was like, you know, he had like 9 blanks in 10 weeks or something like that. While Sanchez ranked up, you know, like he averaged like 2 goals a game for the next 10 weeks. And I was like, I could never quite pull the trigger because there was like a good fixture coming up for Chelsea. The way that my team was made up at the time, it was not easy for me to move someone else into Sanchez. I think it was when Liverpool was playing really well. So, but I feel like that cost me in the end, like 40 or 50 points, maybe. I mean, I know that seems like a lot, but, it was, you know, right before that Sanchez West Ham game where I think he picked up like 23 points. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, he was basically averaging double figures for a run of game weeks there. So, that was probably my biggest mistake. What about you?
Loris Karius wasn't your biggest mistake?
I mean, I've made so many mistakes this year.
My biggest mistake was definitely hanging on to Kapu and and what's his Nathan Ake. I think I lost like $2 million all told in team value just sitting on those guys, being very complacent.
Yeah.
So my team value is like 100.3 right now. It's absolutely laughable. I'm dreading playing my wild card.
It's a good reminder that, you know, with someone like Kapu, that, you know, if you had just burned 4 points to bring him out in game week 12 or something, you know, you would have lost 4 points that game week, and then you could have brought in a more productive player for the next 20 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, another good reminder of just outlier players. We thought for a while, oh, he's just a new player. And he'll just be like this all season. But everyone sort of predicted, most people predicted, that it was just a fluke.
And we both predicted it, and we both brought him in anyway.
Well, I remember being so happy when I brought in Kapu. I was like, well, even if he doesn't perform, everyone else is bringing him in, and my team value is going to shoot up, which it did. Right. So the logic that made it a great move to begin with was also the same logic that destroyed my team.
Right. But you know, let us know on Twitter or Facebook what your biggest mistakes are, or join the conversation. It's already happening. And you can just go to our Twitter feed and find the comments there. Super League, Brandon.
Do these people have not made mistakes?
No, they have not made very many at all. And you get a more of a golden voice than I do. Why don't you run through the top 10?
All right. The Hail Cheaters Super League. Never too late to join. Go to alwayscheating.com. Just click the league tab and you compete. You can compete with these fine folks. In 10th place, Eddie Perello, Akuna Wanmata, 53 points on the game week. 9th place, David Fellheim's The Cuddly Koalas. In 8th, Don't Have a Kalu, that's Saul Barlow's team. Pale Mitch Maynard, BTSTU, is in 7th place. 6th place, Brandon Diggs. His team name is We Far, Far Hated. 5th place, Anders FK, Bricklayers. 4th place, Clichy's Clean Sheets, Fabio Borges, with 69 points. The highest tally in the top 10 for the Hail Cheaters Super League this week. Caesar Rodart, that's Cess Boom, in 3rd place. And Jake Kenyard up to 2nd place, his team name Laro, and in 1st place, holding strong, Patrick Connolly's Eat the Kapu. He did have a low-scoring game week with 39 points, but Patrick Connolly remains 88 overall in the world in the top 100. Well done to you, Mr. Connolly.
Agreed. Well done, Patrick Connolly. Number 88 in the world. Very impressive. He probably dropped a little bit, right? 39, I guess, is a little below average, but still holding strong. His 19-point
40 was the game week average. So let's see. Yeah, I think Patrick must have fallen a bit. I think we've seen him high as in the 40s in his overall ranking.
Well done to everybody there. And I think I am now officially in the top 1,000. So that's a good feeling. The league is huge this year. So, you know, if you're pretty far down in the league, don't worry about it, because you're probably beating Josh Landon.
Let's see. I'm 393rd place.
Okay. So that's – and you're having a very good season. So 393 is I guess you're having – would you say you're having a very good season? You're having a pretty good – to maybe it's good. Yeah,
I think I'm having – for a dialed-in manager, I think I'm having an average season – decently average season.
Yeah, I mean, I give you – I'd say approaching above average if you keep it up.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Yeah, because – I mean, you could definitely crack the top, 20,000 maybe?
That would be great. Would be great. I think the highest I've ever gotten was 29,000. So a top 25K would be my family would be calling me.
It'd be a huge moment for every American sports fan, I think. All right, Brady. Game Week 31 preview. As I said, it's a short pod this week. We just want to get right into it. So matches are on Tuesday and Wednesday this week, and let's get right to it. And should we have a skip in here, Brandon, or should we just run through all 10?
Let's just run through all 10, and I think we'll know a skip if we come to it.
Yeah, Burnley Stoke. very valuable for FPL managers who don't have Tom Heaton, that late goal in the Burnley match.
If you're wondering what game to watch during this period of fixtures, I think this is one not to watch. It's probably going to be a very low-scoring affair. Burnley very tight both, at home, notoriously. Yeah. Stoke is in terrible, terrible form.
Yeah, both teams are pretty much on the beach. I think we refer to last week's episode for our on-the-beach rankings, but both these teams are there. Very little to play for. You know, if you have Tom Heaton, obviously you play him, but that's pretty much it. I guess if I had Grant, I'd probably start him in this match too, right? This feels like a nil-nil.
It does feel like a nil-nil. I don't – there are some good players on – great attacking players like Arnautovic being one of them for Stoke, but – yeah, they're going to have to shake the sand out of their boots to get ready for this game.
Leicester Sunderland, a game that appeals to me much more. I love this match because I have Huth and I have Jamie Vardy, and I'm probably going to captain Vardy in this match. Kind of seems like the perfect. Well, I mean, we'll talk about it more as we go. I mean, Sanchez at home to West Ham is another tempting one, given that West Ham. Does not. They're in some terrible form as well, but just we'll get there in a minute. I think that Leicester look really good right now. They're in great form. They're pretty much safe, wouldn't you say? I think they've won. Is it 4 or 5 games now on the bounce?
Oh yeah, I think it's with the bottom between the bottom four for relegation right now. I mean, anything could happen. Let's see. Think Leicester's on 33 points right now, which is
that's fine with nine game weeks to go. There's no way.
Yeah. 8 game weeks to go, technically, I guess.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Sunderland are going to lose this game. If you get beat by the most on-the-beach team of all time, Watford, as we discussed, now sponsored by Sunglass Hut.
right.
Though, Jordan Pickford, 9 saves. Like, it was...
That was extraordinary. That was your secret weapon this game week, really, was the Pickford, the 9 saves.
Yeah, he ended up with 5 points, effectively a clean sheet at the end of the day, but just gets peppered with goals because their Sunderland is so terrible they can't prevent other teams from getting forward.
I love Jordan Pickford. I'd be curious, you know, if Sunderland do get relegated, as it looks almost certain they will, it'll be interesting to see if he goes down with them or if some other, you know, I don't know, some, I'm trying to think of a good club for someone like him. Maybe Liverpool, you know, some club tries to, I don't know, bring him in.
Yeah, I suppose. But is Pickford, it's just one season. He's suddenly ready for the Champions League.
Well, it's two. No, I guess so. I mean, it's 2 seasons now. You're right. Maybe it's hard to find a good keeper, though, Brandon. I mean, Liverpool thought they solved the problem with Loris Karius, and
maybe he could move.
What happened there?
Maybe. Well, Stoke already has Jack Butland, even though he's been out with injury all season. I'm just looking at all these Premier League.
Look how good Peter Schmeichel is. I mean, that guy was not Champions League proven.
That's true.
He's been amazing.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Palace needs a new goalkeeper. Wayne Hennessey did have a man of the match display.
Yeah. Okay. So there's some, you know, we'll see.
Okay. So my dilemma with this game is I have my goalkeeper rotation right now is Jordan Pickford. And then there's Joel Robles, who is at Old Trafford against United. So I have 2 away keepers, both with kind of daunting fixtures, and, I do feel like between the two, Pickford feels like a better fit to me right now, just based on shot stopping.
Oh, sure. I agree. I mean, you're probably looking at 3 or 4 points either way. So, yeah, I would go Pickford if I were you too.
Yeah, right. Okay, anything else to say about this match? So Vardy looks good. Your Huth pickup looks good. It's hard to say about the Leicester midfield. I'm very sheepish about Mahrez right now, just because he's been very quiet. And Ndidi,
Riyad,
that's the one.
Yeah.
Ndidi scores a wonder goal, but that's his for the season.
Yeah, it's so. I mean, what is going to happen to that guy in the offseason?
Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah, it's so strange, isn't it?
I mean, his transfer value has probably fallen quite a bit.
I mean, if you're Arsenal or I don't know, whatever club you're looking at, I mean, you can't pay $50 million for that guy anymore, can you? I mean,
No.
I don't know. It's just no. So, this to me is an easy Leicester win. Maybe, 3-0 or 3-1 seems about right. 2-0, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Watford, West Brom. Ugh. It's even worse than Burnley Stoke, I think.
I mean, if anything could reach the basement quality of Middlesbrough v Swansea, like, did you watch any of that game?
No.
It was the most repellent soccer game I've ever seen. so bad.
I actually saw a little bit of it. I saw Gilfie's shot, which I cannot believe he didn't score.
Yeah, Victor Valdez with a great save. It's true.
Amazing.
But yeah, Watford, West Brom, what to say here? I think they'll cancel each other out. I'd play a West Brom defender.
Sure. Yeah, why not? I mean, I'd play a Watford defender too, I guess. But it's a hard game to – it's weirdly a hard game to predict. Like, Burnley Stoke, I feel pretty confident saying 0-0. Watford West Brom, like, who knows, right? Like, that game could be, like, 3-2.
It really could, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it won't be anybody you've, like, even heard of. Like, I made some joke about who was the guy who scored for Hull. I posted
Ranocchia.
It. And I was like, I've literally never heard of this guy. And, like, 18 people were like – Inter Milan, dude, come on. I mean, they're all pretty nice about it, but it was I was like, wow, okay, I need to bone up my Serie A. There is like a Serie A infusion this year in the Premier League, isn't there? I mean, it seems like there's like just tons of ex, like Juve and Inter players that are.
I think Juventus over the last decade has done really well at marketing their club and getting great marquee players like Pirlo and Pogba. I mean, they brought who's the Argentinian striker, played at Man City.
Oh, yes, Tevez?
Yeah. And I think they really brought a lot of new eyeballs to Serie A over the last few years. I mean, Serie A used to be the league of leagues. So for people who have been following European football for, their whole life, it's second nature to know what's going on in Serie A.
As an American, we kind of missed, unless you've been following the league for well over a decade, you kind of missed the window, where they were.
Yeah, we missed the fat Ronaldo period of European football.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Juve won the Champions League just like 10 years ago. It was AC Milan, right? It was AC Milan. Anyway, okay, so that game is a hard game to predict, and I don't even want to. So let's just move on.
Yeah,
Man United at Everton, tricky match.
It really is. It'll be somewhat invigorating to go into this match with Big Rom, even though he's trolling. He was on troll patrol. This game week, but United will give up a goal.
It does seem likely, doesn't it? I mean, they don't have. I mean, is it addition by subtraction losing Phil Jones and Chris Smalling? Like, doesn't that almost just make things easier for Mourinho? It does seem like those guys were just like a comedy of errors. Those guys have been like conceding penalties and goals, and they can't stay healthy. And
yeah,
it's like good riddance.
More Chris Smalling than Phil Jones.
Sure, but even Jones, I mean, he conceded a really bad penalty against Bournemouth.
It's true. He had a good run, like a 2 months ago, starting 2 months ago, and then it did come to an end.
But got subbed off with like a minor foot injury in the 58th minute, and they were like, "Oh, he's fine for the weekend." They didn't play for like 6 weeks.
Oh, Phil Jones's middle name is minor injury.
Yeah, it's true. I think that it'd be really interesting to see what Zlatan looks like in this game. I don't think I'll have Zlatan because I don't know. I would have to burn four to do it, and I don't. I mean, actually, it would be kind of tempting to do that. It doesn't really make sense given the team.
That's the big reason why I hesitate starting Joel Robles is because Zlatan will be back. If you watch United, the United attack against West Brom over the weekend, they were kind of unlucky to score, but most of their shots were off target, going this way and that way. Their attack is. Really been woeful all season apart from Zlatan.
And where was that Ben Foster? Like I had the bad Ben Foster for 10 weeks and suddenly he's like, he turns into Tom Heaton away to West Brom. What is it with our way to Old Trafford? Yeah. Old Trafford is like, I don't know. It's weird that like, I mean, I guess that's just like price that Man U paid, right? They built their team around Ibra this year, and it's might be good enough for them to win the Europa League. It might be good enough for them to get in the Champions League. But when he doesn't play, they really just can't seem to score. And they don't have Mata anymore, too, which, you know, I mean, see what you know about Mata, but he was definitely, you know, really influential player.
It's an interesting question about where United goes after this season. You look at a team like Manchester City, they've got a lot of olds. I mean, we can talk about Jesus Navas and how unreal it is that he still plays at that club. Yeah. But you do have this sense that City will be a bit reborn coming into next season. Maybe that's just the Guardiola glow over that stadium. But I look at Manchester United and I'm like, you guys are going to be the exact same next season. I have no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't know what, I mean, they have so much money though. Who knows? Right. I mean, they're so loaded.
Yeah, that does discount. I mean, players like Mkhitaryan and Pogba haven't been at their best and haven't been healthy all season. So maybe just getting those guys healthy will transform the side. So
and you have to give these time. Yeah, I mean, even look at, you know, Alexis Sanchez at Arsenal this year. I mean, Alexis Sanchez has always been good, but, you know, he really took a major leap forward with the club this year. And I think that, you know, part of it is it's the second or third year with the club. Third year, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah, so year three, I mean, it's just he's played with the same group of guys. He knows how, I mean, I think he's second in assists. He's either second or third in overall assists this season. And I feel like that kind of assist rate for a player like him, who's mostly been playing as a striker this season, really speaks to him knowing how to play with his teammates now after, you know, a couple of years. So I wonder if we'll see that with Pogba and even Ibra to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
I'm excited. And Mkhitaryan, too, certainly.
Agreed. We'll watch with great interest. Speaking of, I am excited about this game because I personally would predict that United win and they probably control the tempo from the outset. And maybe Everton gets a few good looks and scores a goal, but I would say like a 2-1 United victory. But if Koeman is prepared and he gets a little more out of Barkley this game, I could see it being a very, very even game, even match.
I think so too. I was actually thinking maybe like a 1-1 draw. Yeah. Even I don't really know where the goals are coming from for United right now. Mm-hmm. So even with Ibra back, I don't feel confident this is like a 3-1 draw or 4. You know, it doesn't feel like a dominant Man U win. That's for sure.
Right.
Arsenal West Ham. We move to Wednesday.
On Wednesday, West Ham is so garbage. But on the other hand, Arsenal, a garbage in another form.
You don't have Sanchez or Vardy, and I'm not sure if you're planning to bring either one in for this game week. Probably not. If you did have those two, who would you be more likely to captain?
I think I would be more likely to captain Alexis Sanchez against West Ham. It's a strange one that Wenger continues to insist to not play Sanchez up front.
I know
where they were doing so well earlier in the season. Why against City are you going to play Danny Welbeck up front?
Why Welbeck and not Giroud for that matter?
Another good question. So many questions. I have so many questions.
Yeah, I mean, Wenger is so past it at this point that who knows? I'm so done with Wenger. I'm so done with Arsenal and their inability to play defense. I mean, this club is. I feel bad because people. I don't know. I feel like every Arsenal fan is in the same, you know, boat right now. So I don't feel too bad about just totally ripping on the club I support. On the podcast, but if we think that Sanchez is going to play in the wing again, maybe it actually leans me towards Vardy a little bit as my captain. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a tough one. There's like a little like psychology involved too. It's like if I don't captain Vardy, if I don't captain Sanchez and Vardy blanks, then, you know, kind of ruins the Wednesday fixtures for me because I'm like almost rooting against Sanchez. I don't know. It's not
right. So the Tuesday fixtures are basically the early kickoff on Saturday, and can't captain anyone for the first kickoff of the game week.
Right. Exactly. So
I would be. I'm firmly Sanchez in this discussion.
I'm really on the fence. I mean, even as I was talking and it, even as I was, you know, sort of talking about it on the podcast, I was maybe in the back of my head thinking that, I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like if you had to like, you know, it's like if you flip a coin and on one side is Vardy and one side Sanchez, like, you know, where do you want the coin to land? You know, it's like, if I do that mentally in my head, I'm like, I want it to be Sanchez. So,
where are we with Andy Carroll on this match? So we're both Andy Carroll owners and we got a goal and a very small, meager bonus point.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep him. I mean, first of all, I think he could probably score away to Arsenal.
He's scored at the Emirates many times before.
And even more importantly, they play Swansea and Sunderland in the two games that follow. The one concern here is, you know, Andy Carroll, a bit of an injury threat. Is there a chance that he doesn't play three games in 8 days or 9 days or whatever it is?
The bookmakers, you know, are probably not – don't have favorable odds there.
Right, so that could be a bit of a concern. So, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. If you have Carroll or any West Ham attacker, stick with them. Even play them at the Emirates. The Arsenal defense is going, you're probably gonna. I think somebody said they've let in 13 goals in the last 5 matches.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, we got our true 6-pointer after that. Hull Borough. Are you going to play Robertson in this game?
Let's see. I'm looking at my defense. Okay, so my defensive setup, I've got Alonso, Cedric, McCauley, Robertson, Kyle Walker. I'm like deeply invested in my defense right now. What a rotation.
Yeah, truly.
Okay, so Alonso plays City, but you can't. Alonso, I don't know. He's probably benchable this in game week 21.
Yeah, I think so.
City or Chelsea can't keep clean sheets at the moment. Cedric with Crystal Palace, that seems like a pretty good play, as does Walker against Swansea. He's going to be rested for the midweek game. And I don't know, but then McCauley, Watford, Robertson, Berger. I think I have to play Robertson because Berger can't score. They don't score. They won't score.
That would be what I would do, I think. Yeah. So what do we think this game? This is like a 1-0 Hull win, maybe. I mean, Hull's playing pretty well right now.
Absolutely. Rampaging. And they'll be the KC Stadium. Took it to West Ham over the weekend. Great home form. I like it. I like them to win this game.
Yeah, and then they're weird, like, collection of anonymous talent that they've acquired in the last 3 months while I was sleeping, apparently. Southampton Crystal Palace.
Interesting game. Palace finding some form. It's a little difficult to score on them these days.
Yep.
Southampton without any real class striker. Jay Rodriguez is a good player, but, you know, he's not exactly in form right now. This will be a good match.
I think so too.
I still like Zaha again here.
Yeah.
Southampton strong on the wings with Bertrand, but I could see Zaha really taking it to Cedric.
I like Palace to win this game too. 2-1 Palace would be my prediction.
Yeah, and I think Benteke could expose Yoshida and your man Jack Stevens for being slightly softer in the middle.
Yeah, I do worry about my boy, my beloved Jack Stevens. I like the way Crystal Palace is playing right now. I cannot believe that Allardyce is going to pull out another escape. I mean, this Crystal Palace team looked absolutely terrible.
It looked very unlikely.
Weeks ago. And now they're almost certain to stay up, right? I mean, they're going to be on the beach with like one more win.
I'm wondering now about our old friend Jason Puncheon. So... Well, okay. Now I'm looking at Crystal Palace's run of fixtures, and even with the double, it's terrible. Yeah, Jason Puncheon, sorry. I liked you at one point, but I'm not going to bring you in.
Nope, definitely not. And I mean, I still can't believe I brought in Johan Gabay. God, talk about bad moves. Oh, I think I might have even stuck with that move longer than I should have because everyone was telling me it was a bad move, and I didn't want to admit it. And so I was just like doubling down on it, like, screw you guys. This is a good move.
That was perhaps the smartest I ever was when I brought in Punchin and got a game with two assists out of him and promptly sold him. And, you know, that was great management on my part.
You have been very unsentimental this year in general. I think it's been a real strength for you this year.
Yeah.
Swansea Spurs. Another interesting game.
Yeah. Tom Carroll's going to be hosting his former club.
Yep.
I expect Spurs are going to try and run riot here. I guess all the commentators want you to believe that they're still trying to challenge for the title, but I mean, let's be real, Josh. Like the title's done, I think. But it's
I'm surprised you say that because to me it's only 7 points, and I think Man City could absolutely win away at Chelsea given Chelsea's current form. And if City beat Chelsea and Spurs beat Swansea, it's a 4 point, you know, it's 4 point difference with 7 game weeks to go. So I don't think it's like totally out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, it's true. Spurs just have so much to play for any way you slice it, because I mean, they're still solidifying their position in the top four, which is probably in less jeopardy than Chelsea's title chances, but still.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs could win every game the rest of the season, even without Kane. I mean, that's just a great run-in for them pretty much every game week from here on out.
Yeah, I like Spurs' chances of keeping a clean sheet against Swansea. Swansea looked pretty rough against the Burger.
They did. I guess they just picked up a point, right? I mean, if they can just get a couple more draws and one more win, I think they're – I mean, they're right there. I mean, I think they're only 1 point clear of relegation, but – I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess if Hull wins and Spurs beat Swansea, then is Hull suddenly maybe they're – do they climb out of the relegation spots? I don't know what the standings look like.
They really might.
Yeah.
If this game is at White Hart Lane, I might advocate captaining Dele Alli. But it is, and you've got, like we were saying, captain options like Alexis Sanchez and Jamie Vardy, it's hard. It's a hard one to call. Yeah. But still, I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame anybody who did, Brandon. I wouldn't do that. I mean, it's just not who I am.
You're not playing the blame game.
Not playing the blame game. City-Chelsea, the match we were just talking about. Normally, I mean, you know, five or six weeks ago, this is an easy Chelsea win. Certainly that's what I would predict. And given that Chelsea, you know, they lost to Crystal Palace, which I think everyone would make kind of a bigger deal of than they needed to. I mean, you know, it's coming out of the international break. Crystal Palace have everything to play for. Chelsea, you know, have the league well in hand, you know, or so it would seem. And they hadn't lost in ages. So I don't really know why there was such a kerfuffle about them losing.
So what do you think? Marcus Alonso, are you going to put him on the bench this weekend or for this Wednesday fixture?
I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in that case, Jack Stevens would start over Alonso. So do I think that Southampton has a better chance of keeping a clean sheet at home at Crystal Palace? Or, yeah, I think that Alonso has enough.
Yeah, he's got the attacking
goal and
potential.
Assist potential. Yeah, that I probably have to start him. What about you? I guess you're looking at the bench for him.
I'm thinking about putting him on the bench. Will Marcus Alonso score a free kick this season? That's really all he has left to do for us.
Hit the crossbar like three times. Yeah. Right? And I feel like he's had a few chances already. So you're going to keep Aguero, I would guess, for this game?
Yeah. Yeah, there are – okay, so Aguero – transfer moves here would be either figuring out my goalkeeper rotation for game week 35, double game week, so maybe I drop Robles for Victor Valdez.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense.
Apart from that, yeah, I think I need to reevaluate my striker options, and it could be a good week for me to bring in Zlatan for Aguero.
Yeah. That does make sense too. I'm looking at banking the transfer. It's always nice to be able to bank at least one transfer after a wild card. And I don't see any move that makes great sense right now. I was certainly trying to think a couple weeks ahead with my wild card team. So, you know, unless like an injury comes up, I mean, the only move would maybe be to drop Carroll. But if Sadio Mane was out for a month, then I think Carroll to Origi is a really good move. Mm-hmm. But if Mane is going to be back in 3 days or whatever, then there's really no point in making that move. So and then I have the bank transfer. I can kind of, at that point, I can sort of see what Ibra looks like after the Everton game and possibly bring him in.
Yeah, I agree. Though City are hosting Hull next weekend, and that is another temptation to keep Aguero on for that.
Right, right.
I know we're not talking about Pep's legendary rotation at all right now, so I assume Aguero starts midweek. I don't see any other option for him.
How could you not start him at the Chelsea match? Right. Yeah. I mean.
Right. Right.
Yeah, Liverpool, Bournemouth. So who is going to concede a penalty on Bournemouth? That's going to get my boy James Milner some points.
I think right now on my team, I have the armband on Roberto Firmino.
Oh, really? That's interesting. Yeah, that does make sense. I mean, Bournemouth do not look good. I like that.
My team is not set up well for Game Week 31, let's be clear, and without any Leicester or Arsenal coverage. But Firmino, I think he's due for a goal. He's definitely going to start. He'll play the full 90. Bournemouth will let a few in, guaranteed.
I think Robles to Valdez move is the right move, though. That move does make sense.
Yeah, I do. It's kind of a conservative long term one, and I don't even know if I'd start Valdez over Pickford over the weekend. But yeah, I agree. And
I think I would. You wouldn't start Valdez over Pickford. I mean, away to Hull and Burrow. I mean, it's a tight defense for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm just mulling this over.
Yeah, I know. It's so early after the last turn of fixtures that I think we're still
how crazy is a Roberto Firmino captaincy?
Well, the problem with Firmino is he doesn't seem to get a lot of bonus points. I don't really understand why, because he's so involved in the attack. And it seems like he makes key passes and he has the ball a lot. It must be that the eye test is not revealing the underlying stats or whatever, because it seems like he's very centrally involved. And then when he picks up assists and goals, he doesn't seem to get any bonus points. So that would be my concern.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a good point. Yeah. For it to be worthwhile, Liverpool really have to run riot over Bournemouth, and that that couldn't be on the cards. If Mane doesn't play, Lallana is out, no Henderson, a lot of people are making this point, but the attacking threat of Liverpool is severely diminished at the moment. They're still scoring goals. Right. I mean, they put three past Everton.
So, I think but that's if, a concern. If I were looking at a Game Week 32 wildcard, which I'm not sure if any managers are, there's not a lot of turnaround time. But if you were, then I love Origi as a 1 week punt, possibly even as a captain option. Like that's how, like that guy is like dying to play. I don't know. There's been some quotes afterwards too, where he's like, I want to get in. I want to score. I want to prove to this club that I am a vital attacking asset.
That was a somewhat ill-fated transfer for me earlier this season when, Mane went away for African Cup of Nations. I brought Origi in. I actually got a goal from him, his first run out with my side, and then he came off the bench every game after that, which was really
frustrating. You can't call that a bad. That's kind of like me bringing in Stanislaw in game week, 23 or whatever. I mean, it's an unfortunate move, but you can't call it a bad move because given their form, there was no reason to think he was not going to be starting. I mean, the guy's, I think he's like, when he scored the goal the week you brought him in, I think it was his fourth goal in four matches.
Yeah.
So for him then to, come off the bench for the next 6 or 7 weeks, it was very surprising.
It's interesting to hear about these quotes though, of him, of Origi after this weekend's match saying he's so up for it.
Yeah, I know. But then, if Mane is going to be back for the Saturday, then I'd really only do it if I could bring him in for 1 week and then drop him again.
Yeah. Clean sheet for Liverpool? I mean, probably not.
Probably not. No, I imagine not. That's who would my clean sheet pick? I guess Leicester at home to Sunderland is my clean sheet pick.
Oh yeah. That's a good one. I am going to pick Stoke City keeping a clean sheet against Burnley.
Okay, I like it. That's
I'm not even going to respect Burnley enough to pick them as the clean sheet.
All right, Brendan, there's your episode. This went on way longer than I was expecting it to. I thought this was going to be like a 30-minute podcast, but
we love talking.
In fantasy, don't we? We love to talk. I went on my little rant about American fans and why they don't listen to the podcast.
Right.
Anyway, all right, Brandon, that's it. There's your lot for this week's
episode. If you know any other Americans, tell them about Always Cheating. Have them subscribe at iTunes, where you can rate and leave us a review. We appreciate that for sure. We're on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, and yep. Where can people follow us, Josh?
They can follow us on Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And you can support the podcast, patreon.com/alwayscheating, where you can join the Second Half League. And you still it looks like we're actually not going to be able to do another server league because Shane and Dave Wagner-Lodell continue to duel.
That's incredible. Good for them.
Yeah. So we're going to have at least, one or two more, special podcasts or features. We'll do something for our Patreon supporters before the season's out for sure. Right. So keep an eye out for that. And thanks to all the Patreon supporters, of course, too. And Brendan, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Look out for Wednesday, another episode dropping for a Game Week 32 weekend preview.
All right. And Bacani forever.
Hail Cheaters.
Have mercy.